Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Here we have the miracle of the blind man healed in stages. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town." A couple of background notes for this little miracle here, the healing of the blind man in stages. In verse 22, the town of Bethsaida here, recognize that this is a town under judgment. It was one of the three cities at the northwest end of the Sea of Galilee where the Lord had done a number of miracles, but the Lord pronounced woe upon these cities because they would not respond and receive him as Messiah. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Capernaum. Now this judgment has already been pronounced. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 11. In verse 23, when the Lord spit on his eyes, you don't want to get the idea that the Lord, you know, stood 3 feet away, took aim, and spit on the man's eyes. No, he placed spit on his eyes. Kind of like with a blind man in John chapter 9, the Lord took his spit and mixed it with clay and placed it on the man's eyes. In verse 24, the man says he sees men like trees walking. Now, what's the idea here? It's not the idea that he's got it backwards. You know, he looks out there and he sees trees, they look like men, and he looks over here and he sees people and they look like trees. No, it's more the idea of fuzzy vision. His vision is not clear. He cannot distinguish between people and trees except that people move, so that he knows they're people. But his vision is not fully cleared up yet. Kind of reminds me of the time when I was jogging on the golf course that's right next to our college campus. And it was at night. And I was just about to jump over what I thought were two bushes. And all of a sudden they moved. It was two of my students out there talking. But, here, this was night. I had fuzzy vision. But in this case, it was in broad daylight. The man still can't distinguish between trees and people. And then the Lord keeps his hand on his eyes, and the man's vision is fully restored. In verse 26, the Lord tells him to go to his house and don't go into the town or tell anyone in the town. Well, the man apparently didn't live in Bethsaida, but on the outskirts, and the Lord sent him home. And he was not to tell the crowds of Bethsaida about the miracle because, as we see so often, the Lord did not want people following him just because of the miracles. Well, let's go to our doctrinal point now. And here it is. Context is helpful in determining the meaning of miracles. Context is helpful in determining the meaning of miracles. We've been over this before, but let's mention it again. All the miracles of the Lord Jesus have meaning to them. They were designed to teach. It just wasn't an arbitrary burst of divine power. It was pre-programmed. It was designed. The miracles of the Lord Jesus were not only demonstrations of the power of God to show that Jesus is God, but they were pre-planned and carried out in such a way as to teach lessons. I mean, do you think the Lord could have snapped his fingers here and this man would have been perfectly healed in an instant? Of course he could. But he chose to heal this blind man in stages. Why? Because of the teaching of the miracle. The meaning of this miracle has to do with coming to spiritual enlightenment, coming to spiritual maturity, having your spiritual vision cleared up. There's no instant sanctification, no instant spiritual maturity. The Lord continues to clear up our spiritual eyesight as we let Him keep His hands upon our spiritual eyes. And we see that meaning right here. It's dramatized. That very teaching of Scripture, that teaching of our Lord, is dramatized in this miracle. And I think you can be helped to come to the meaning of the miracles by looking at the context. So often the surrounding context to the miracle helps us understand the meaning of the miracle. Now let's look at the context surrounding this miracle. Go back to verse 17. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember?" You see, a lack of spiritual enlightenment. Believers, yes, but a lack of understanding. Go down to verse 21. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" See, they love the Lord. They're believers, but they lack understanding. And then go to the context after the miracle. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So you see in the context, both before the miracle and after the miracle, there's a lack of understanding on the part of the disciples. There's a lack of spiritual maturity. Their spiritual vision is not cleared up. They're believers, but they need spiritual enlightenment. And so tucked right in the middle, in the midst of this context, you have this miracle of the blind man healed in stages. The miracle dramatizes the very words that the Lord is teaching. So you have the meaning of the miracle explained by the surrounding context. Context is helpful in determining the meaning of miracles. So that's our doctrinal or teaching point. Always look at the surrounding context of any of the miracles of our Lord Jesus, and many times it will help you to come to know what the meaning of the miracle is. Context is helpful in determining the meaning of miracles. Let's move to practical application. Let's take the necessary steps to obtain 20/20 spiritual vision. Let's take the necessary steps to obtain 20/20 spiritual vision. I think we can see some of these steps right here in this miracle. The first one, let the Lord lead. In other words, you see what the meaning of the miracle is: coming to spiritual enlightenment. No instant sanctification. No instant spiritual maturity. But the Lord brings us to spiritual enlightenment. He clears up our spiritual vision. But we must follow the steps that we see right here in the miracle if we would have 20/20 spiritual vision. So one step certainly is, let the Lord lead. Notice verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. See, too often we like to lead the Lord rather than let the Lord lead us. If you're going to have 20/20 spiritual vision, you've got to let the Lord lead us, not us lead the Lord. Why is it that becoming a missionary to Hawaii appeals to me? You see, I want to lead the Lord. But we can be Christians and lead the Lord and do all kinds of things. But if you want to have 20/20 spiritual vision, you've got to let the Lord lead us. Another step we see is separation from the world. He took him out of Bethsaida. Now that's why we gave that historical background note about Bethsaida. It was a city under judgment. The judgment had already been pronounced. So Bethsaida here is a picture of the world under judgment. And we must practice separation from the world if we would have clear spiritual understanding, spiritual enlightenment. Separation, of course, does not mean separating from the people of this world, running off and be a Christian hermit somewhere. No, separation means to separate from the values and attitudes of this world system. You can be a worldly Christian like the Corinthians and get to heaven, but you can't obtain 20/20 spiritual vision unless you're willing to practice separation from worldly values and attitudes. Another step we see here, humility, the step of humility. We see that in the matter of the man submitting to the spit of God here, letting the Lord put his spit on him. Now, you don't want to think of this as something real gross, uncouth. In fact, you can read some of the commentaries, the spit of rabbis was highly esteemed in those days. But still, it was not a pleasant experience. It was humbling. You know, suppose the man had said, oh, wait a minute, you know, I want to have my eyesight cleared up, but, you know, I don't want to have spit put on my eyes. Come on. Well, do you want 20/20 spiritual vision? Are you willing to be humbled by God? Really, do we deserve anything more than the spit of God? See, we need to take that place. We can be Christians and get to heaven without being humbled. We can go proud. But if you want to have clear spiritual vision, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual maturity, you've got to be willing to be humbled by God. I mean, suppose you're doing a great job right now at something and you're not getting any credit, and God is allowing this to go on. That's humbling, hard to take. But believe it or not, as you're willing to take that, you grow. You grow spiritually. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One last step I think we see here in reference to the steps necessary, contained right in the miracle here, to come to 20/20 spiritual vision. Let the Lord keep his hands on our eyes. We need to let the Lord keep his hands on our eyes. Notice it was as the man let the Lord continually keep his hands, the Lord's hands on his eyes. That his vision was cleared. He came to full 20/20 vision. Well, I think there's a great lesson here. Again, there's no shortcut to spiritual maturity. There's no instant sanctification. You don't have complete spiritual enlightenment the minute you become a Christian. It's a growth process. We need to let the Lord keep his hands on our eyes. And the best way to do that, of course, is stay in the Word of God. If you were to ask me, well, you know, Dave, that's what I want to do. I want to let the Lord keep his hands on my spiritual eyesight. How do I do it? Stay in the Word of God. You soak yourself in the Word of God. That's the best way you can let the Lord keep his hands on your spiritual eyesight. Let's not be content to walk around with fuzzy vision. Let's let the Lord keep his hand on our eyes. Let's take the necessary steps to obtain 20/20 spiritual vision.